You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena. Actually, we're like number episode 1561. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up. That's a lot of episodes. Like I said, this is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me this week, we have Paris Lee. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And for those who don't know, it's Obsidian Radio.
Yes, we're all Obsidian Radio today.
By the way, it wasn't planned. I was like getting up and Para goes, hey, wait, I have the same shirt. I'm like, wait, hold on. It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned at all. But how's everything with you, man?
No, it's good, man. Good. I'll see you and the family later today. Looking forward to that.
Yep. And after this, Gamescom?
Oh, I'm sure I'll see you before then.
I don't know. I'm moving.
No. You'll definitely see me because, you know, I have a visitor come.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, we will both be at Gamescom at the end of August. So I'm so excited for you. Like I already told you, I'm literally just going to stare at you the whole time. That's all I'm going to do. I cannot wait until you see this convention center because it's going to shock you. You're gonna be like, I can't believe this. And I'm like, I told you.
You know what is hard? I'm going to tell you a couple of things that has been hard booking appointments for this.
Oh, it's insane.
One is the time. The time difference is like, I am not used to this. That's number one. Number two is you don't know where all these companies are going to be at. So like, you know, typically at E3, some of these meetings was only like, let's say 25 minutes or 45 minutes. So at least you have time to walk to the next appointment. And I haven't seen that yet with this. And some of these things are like in different places. Some of that gets in a business area and some is like, there's no location. So I'm booking appointments randomly because I don't know where they're at. I have until it gets closer.
So my appointment's already, so a little pro tip for you.
Yeah.
It's chaos already because, you know, there's certain publishers that have not reached out yet that we know are going to reach out. So I'm kind of trying to leave space for that. Yep. And I've been booking some other stuff. And to your point, I know the business center, so I know how it works, you know, all that, right? So I'm actually not too concerned by that. If it's in the business center, you'll be fine. Like I said, the first day you're going to be completely freaking lost. But by the second or third day, you'll understand where everything is and all that. So it's not going to be that bad when you're in the business center trying to go to appointment. Now, if you got something at one of the booths, good luck.
Unless it's Wednesday.
Unless it's Wednesday. Yeah. Because that's media day. The public's not there. Once the public is there, forget it. You want to be in the business center for all your appointments. So, yeah, it's like I said, I'll tell you this story. So last year, because remember, it had been a few years since I've been to Gamescom. I'm walking in there all cocky like I know where everything is. First day, it was the day before. I'm lost. I was completely lost. I didn't know where anything was. And one of our good friends that works in PR saw me and they helped me and he got lost. That's how big this thing is. We were both confused trying to figure stuff out and then we figured it out and it was fine. But yeah, man, you're going to be tripping. I'm telling you, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I don't know. We'll see. And I hope the city is easy to go around.
Oh, it is. It is.
And we're staying at different hotels. For the people that know, we're like totally different, staying far away from each other, which is good. But I don't know how to get to the convention.
Like I said, I obviously have to help you because like where I'm staying, the train is right there. I just walk 20 feet. The train, boop, Gamescom, easy. I don't know about where you. I'll have to see how the train works. But like I said, after the first day or two, you'll know how the trains work, the stops, and then it gets super easy after that. But Cologne's awesome. You're gonna love Cologne. You're gonna have a great time. Can't wait.
Good. But yeah, everyone, welcome to GTR. Sorry we started off with Gamescom. Hey, we're excited, man. We got content coming up next month for the show. If you go back to the Summer Game Fest content. That was a lot. You know, I had a lot of good interviews, you know. Some of them was super last minute. So that happens a lot when we go to these events. So we'll see what happens when we go to Gamescom. We'll see. But we have a couple things to talk about, man. Let's start with this. Speaking about Summer Game Fest, this happened last year. And let me see if I could put this over here. Sorry, my setup is so crazy. I'm gonna show this. Just remember this because we had to do this interview. let's show this, Paris, very quick. Very quick.
Man, I was looking good, wasn't it? Look at that. All swole up.
I'm always looking good. All right, let's play this very quick. But I wanted to start with that. 25th anniversary, big year, you know. And I know in one of the messages that you guys said, let's look ahead for the next 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why the change with having exclusives back? And also, how can, as a fan, I get confused in the future, want to know which one is not exclusive, which one is it based on game or not?
Yeah. Want people to have a reason to get on board with Xbox. Mm-hmm. Want them to have a reason to buy an Xbox, reason to be an Xbox fan. Mm-hmm. Same time, we want to reward all our players that have been with us for a long time. We know that exclusives are important. Mm-hmm. That's why we got Gears coming to 2026, Clockwork in 2027. We also want to be clear, our big multiplayer games, live service games, are going to continue to be multi-platform. If we've promised something to players already, mm-hmm. We're going to honor that promise, right? And then we're going to really, I think Asha said it, we're going to make the right decision, not the fast decision. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep thinking about this going forward. And I think you guys know as well as anybody that our principle is when we announce a date, we want to announce the platforms. So it's going to be case by case, but we're going to be clear that when it's got a date, it's got a platform, and you'll know what the choice is going to be.
So that was our conversation with Matt Booty back in, during Summer Game Fest. And that clip went around, got picked up by a lot of media. And it sounded positive, but also confusing because at that time, he said multiplayer games are going to be multi-platform and so on, right? So he just had an interview with Games Radar where now he's saying not all single player games are going to be exclusive, which we're going to talk about which games that I think is not going to be exclusive. But again, it sounds confusing to me still. Like I still haven't found like the right message, because you know, with Nintendo and PlayStation, which they don't do multi-platform like Xbox, but PlayStation has done a couple, but it's easy to understand what they're trying to do. With Xbox, it's still a question mark, you know? So do you feel the same, Paris, with this, even after this interview with Matt Booty that came out yesterday?
Ironically enough, watching it right now and mm-hmm. seeing the interview that he just did that has kind of stirred this back up again.
Yeah.
He just said the same thing again. He's actually not changing anything that he's really said. I mean, at no point when he talked to us did he promise that every single player game was going to be exclusive. In other words, we're going to give you reasons to want to mm-hmm. buy the box, which is what we were saying at Summer Game Fest at the time. I mean, he didn't talk about multiplayer at all in the second interview, but he's just like, hey, we're going to look at it and we're going to make the right decision on that. And we're going to be crystal clear on where these are going to show up. And to your point, which goes back to something I said last week when I brought up the Elder Scrolls 6 as an example, they got to be strategic about this on which games that they are going to make exclusive and which games that they're going to, he said, we're going to honor things that we've already promised, all those things mm-hmm. that are going to be multi-platform. They're going to be clear about where they're going to show up. So look, I've been saying this even before Summer Game Fest, they're never going back to 100% exclusivity. Anybody that thinks that's fooling themselves, they're just simply not. They're too big to be able to do that. What's going to be interesting is, I think, and more specifically the Activision and the Bethesda games, I think more so the Xbox Game Studio games, which mm-hmm. ones will continue to be multi-platform and which ones will be exclusive. Like I said, I bring the Elder Scrolls 6 up again. And it was funny, I posted that clip online and we were talking specifically about consoles and people are, what about PC? Ain't about talking about PC, I'm talking about consoles.
Nobody's talking about
so,
PC.
But my point on that was and still is, can they afford to do that? And they're obviously going to look at it and make a business decision. on that. I think that's reasonable. Now, I'm curious what games, because you said you have an idea what games that you think are still going to be multi-platform. I have my own theories as well, but I'm curious what you think.
I mean, Elder Scrolls for sure. Fallout.
What, multi-platform? Multi-platform,
100%. Okay. Anything Bethesda, I think, is going to go multi-platform. Now, my question to you, you know, they did it with Gears. And look, Halo is coming out in a couple of days, PlayStation 5. Is the next Halo going to be exclusive then? Now, I mean, last year we got to play Gears on PlayStation 5, and now it's exclusive. Again, you know, they decided that super last minute. But is Halo 5, I mean, not Halo 5, the next Halo is going to be exclusive.
Oh, let's preface this. There's obviously a video and a rumor going on around right now about the current state of Halo. It's a rumor, so I'm not going to assume the worst. Let's just go by what we know as factual. So there will eventually be another Halo. And I think at this point, if you're going to make Gears exclusive, Halo has to be exclusive. I think this is a one and done for Halo being on PlayStation. I just don't see you having the game that is the literal definition of Xbox. It is the defining game, the flagship game of Xbox, regardless of what you think about it in 2026. There is no Xbox without Halo. How can that be multi-platform, but something like Gears isn't? That doesn't make sense to me. So I think the next Halo will be exclusive under this current strategy that they're doing. I'm still on the fence about Elder Scrolls. I really am. I do think, to the point of when you think about them, we should probably get into Fallout after this. When you think about the Fallouts, the Elder Scrolls of the world, obviously Call of Duty and, you know, the Blizzard games, Diablo, stuff like that. Yeah, I see the vast majority of those probably staying multi-platform, but I got a feeling a few of them will wind up being exclusive. Like I said, Elder Scrolls, when prices were cheaper, you 100% make that exclusive, because that is going to be a huge incentive to go buy an Xbox. I just wonder, and I still wonder, can they risk that? I will be fascinated to see. And obviously, Todd Howard made the rounds this week and did some interviews. Like, he talked specifically to Jez, and I know he talked to Jason Schreier, and exclusivity was brought up about Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and he just said it was too early to have that conversation. So I don't think they're definitive on it at all. I truly think it's 50-50. I think it can go either way.
Yeah. Do you think we might see an announcement during Gamescom from Xbox of a game that potentially is going to be also exclusive in the future? Because I know there's going to be a fan fest over there too and everything. I think there's probably, usually there's always like one game that wasn't announced during the Xbox Game Showcase, but they'll show it at Gamescom, you know, and it gets announced. Do you think we might see one more, maybe? I might. I think so, too. I think so, though. You're smiling.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it, because my first thought was Blade. You show Blade at Gamescom. That was my first thought. But obviously, with the uncertainty of Arcane, do you want to show it until you're clear on the fate of Arcane? Because like I said, Blade's coming out. I don't think Blade's getting canceled or anything like that. I just think, what happens to Arcane? Do they go independent? Does another publisher pick them up? I'm assuming it's going to be very similar to what happened with State of Decay, is what will happen with Arcane. But until that's finalized, because obviously we found out the French government is involved with this, we just simply don't know. So I almost feel like they probably don't want to even show Blade or talk about Blade until that's done and confirmed and over with. But to your point, yeah, I could see them showing something. I don't know, because like I said, my thought would have been Blade in that scenario.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, man, 2027.
You know what? I'm going to take it back. Think they focus on Gears at Gamescom. I don't think they show anything new. I think the fact they're going to have Gears playable at Gamescom, I think you show more, like, because the multiplayer beta will have already been out by then. So I think what you get to play at Gamescom is going to be more campaign focused. I could be wrong, but you probably show more campaign of Gears, and then you really hype up Gears, because at that point, Gears is about a month away. So I think that's the focus. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, because I think, if they decide it's because of the French government, maybe super last minute, maybe they have like a quick little trailer for opening live, but that's going to be like super last minute. If not, we probably will get to see that trailer during the Game Awards, or save it for January for the next showcase that they have, the developer video they always have early in the year. Maybe there. I think that's the only thing I can think of. Because like, what else is next for Xbox? Like, besides the exclusive we already know in the early of the year, but I'm talking about like November of next year. You know, because right now this year is packed with. But yeah, but Clockwork is coming out. Most likely, it's coming out early next year. But I'm talking about like the November.
No, it's not.
I think it's coming out next.
Fable's coming out in early next year. They're not putting Clockwork out early next year.
No, they're gonna probably do it back to back, like how it is now. The Halo, Gears. Nah. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think Clockwork is a fall game. Fall 2027.
I think that's a spring game. I think it's a spring game. Yeah, why not? Look, man, when I'm right, just say I'm right.
Hey, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, being serious, I mean, obviously we know Fable's coming out early February.
Yeah.
And you could be right. Yeah. Who knows? I just have always assumed that Clockwork winds up being one of their big fall 2027 games. Just my thought. We'll see.
Okay. Okay. So let's go with this topic because, you know, Paris, he's always looking for trouble, man. Goes to my tweet, posted this, and it's going around. I just posted what I read that they sent me early about this. So it looked like Todd Howard posted a roadmap for Bethesda. He talked about several things, but my focus was like about Fallout, and I'm like, yo, it is crazy they haven't done anything for Fallout with two seasons that's been successful for the TV series. So I posted, you know, this, and it said Obsidian, which we have the shirts here, is officially partnering with Bethesda Studios for a brand new Fallout game. I think they should have done this a long time ago. That's my opinion. Maybe Pirates has a different opinion, but let's continue. Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas remastered are now in development. Again, they should have done this a long time ago. What they were thinking. Fallout 5 it has entered pre-production and will be built on the new Creation Engine 3. And Fallout 76 players get the Raven Rock expansion coming out next year. This is a prequel to Fallout 3. Paris, they should have done this a long time ago. Asha was like, no, we got to do this now. We're not waiting. Your thoughts, because I know.
Pull up what I said.
Oh, you know what? Let me go right here.
Paris, you know, I'm not actually. Hey, look, how many? I can't see it small. How many likes did I want to get on that? Because I got ratioed, I think.
2,700.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I got ratioed because Bethesda responded to me on
this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll read that. We'll read that in a few minutes. But it says that.
It's tiny text. So just read it. So,
can I zoom in? Let me see if I can zoom in.
Can you zoom in?
I can zoom in.
Okay, I can see that.
Paris doesn't have his glasses.
it's shit. So this is what I said. I quote tweeted you because let me preface this. I've been saying this for years. This is not new. This is not new. I've been saying this here on GTR. I've said it on Kind of Funny. I've been tweeting about it because I literally just a couple weeks ago was just tweeting about Fallout and why there wasn't anything. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I said, the majority of this roadmap should have started years ago. And then the first thing, the Fallout 3 and the New Vegas remaster should have launched with season 1 and season 2 of the TV show. And this has been one of my biggest sticking points, that they didn't have some foresight to get some new Fallout content to synergize with the TV show. Okay, maybe season 1 you didn't. I get they, you know, put the DLC in Fallout 76, but there should have been some new standalone Fallout content to go with it. So at a minimum, Fallout 3, like I said, the perfect scenario would have been a Fallout 3 remaster to go with season 1, and obviously season 2 went to New Vegas, so you have the New Vegas remaster ready to go with season 2. Perfect companion pieces for that. So that's why I said that. And then the second one, Fallout 5 just now going into pre-production. Huh?
That's crazy.
Again, even if I get you're working on Starfield, the whole things, you would think when the TV show became a hit at that point, let's get Fallout 5 into pre-production or something. Because If it's just now going into pre-production, we know it's coming after Elder Scrolls 6. We are in the 2030s by the time we get Fallout 5. Let's say aggressively, probably 2032. Just my opinion. Mm-hmm. The third one, Obsidian. Obsidian or another studio should have been well into production of a Fallout spinoff. It goes right back to what I was saying with Fallout 5. TV show comes out. You're seeing it's a hit. Why? Okay. Todd and the Bethesda team is working on Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6. Fair. Uh-huh. Get another studio to make something Fallout related to, again, fill in the gap of no standalone Fallout being there. They could have started that 2-3 years ago. Uh-huh. We know they're just now starting on that. Uh-huh. Again. And then the fourth one, I'm giving flowers to Fallout 76, because I think what gets lost in the sauce of all this, I love Fallout 76. Obviously, I've been interviewing the team the past few years, talking about all the new content out there. I love Fallout 76. So I'm like, yeah, it is excellent for me. They have been consistent. If you see the amount of updates that Fallout 76 has had over the years, hey, bravo to them. But my point about Fallout 76 is that's not that single player standalone Fallout game. That yep. is a co-op slash multiplayer live service type game. Mm-hmm. Great that it's Fallout content, but 76, 2018? It's been out. So it's been out for a while, right? And mm-hmm. look, they're going to add some DLC to it to get kind of give you a prequel to Fallout 3. Great. Love seeing that. So that's why I'm giving its flowers. And then I finally said, I love Fallout. And to see it not being utilized to its full potential has been disappointing. And as a fan of Fallout, yes, it is disappointing to me that there could have been more Fallout content over the past 5 or 6 years that we simply not have, because it's all been, look, for lack of a better term, just gatekeeped by Bethesda. Like Bethesda Studios has to be the one to make Fallout content when you could have given it to some other studios to do. It is too big of an IP to have this big of a gap. Because think about it, Fallout 4 was 2015, and here we are in 2026, and you're just now starting to make a new Fallout game.
That's crazy.
That's all I'm saying. Because to me, Fallout 76 is a side project that is, hey, let's dip our toe into kind of a co-op live service experience. Look, and we know Fallout 76 did not launch in the best of shape. That team down in Austin has done an amazing job fixing that, which is great. But people want more than that. People want that single player Fallout experience. That's all I'm saying on that. Now, go to what Bethesda said.
What happened here, Paris? What happened here?
I got ratioed. God damn. Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Most of what we shared today has been in motion for years. I don't know.
Can I be honest about this?
Yeah,
I don't 100% believe that. I don't believe it.
I don't. I love Bethesda, but this is...
Yeah, and me too.
This is... Not 100% true. I don't think so. Because look, if it was, they could have talked about this a long time ago. Even with the announcement of of the new series, the new season, they could have, oh yeah, we're working on it. They could have said that a long time ago. Why stay quiet? You know? That's why I don't believe it. We have just traditionally stayed quiet until things are ready to show. They haven't shown anything. Ready to show what? We haven't seen anything. Only Fallout 76, like you said, that's it.
No, yeah. I think what the tweet here is saying is we've just traditionally stayed quiet until things are ready to show. In other words, we weren't going to talk about it until we had something ready to show. But obviously, there's been a change in leadership, and now they're doing it differently and talking about it now.
Yeah. Pre-production is a longer road than people often realize, and there are a lot of moving pieces across our games, the TV series, and more. Your thoughts on that part?
I mean, fair. I don't disagree that pre-production can take a long time, but their statement made it read like Fallout 5 just now went into pre-production.
Mm-hmm. The newer piece is working more closely with teams like Obsidian and ZOS. Is excited to finally talk about some of what we've been building, and we appreciate the passion and support.
But see, yeah, and I got ratio, but you know me, I stay out of comments because I'm sure it's chaos. But again, that last point, this is a new thing where you're collaborating with other studios to help make more Fallout content. So in other words, even if it all was in pre-production previously, it was all at BGS. So we know what your priorities have been over the past 5 or 6 years, Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6, not Fallout. And that's what I'm saying when it comes to all that. It would have been nice to have had another studio, another team, along with you working on Elder Scrolls, working on Fallout simultaneously so that we get it quicker. Because right now, Fallout 5 is in the 2030s. I mean, let's be real. This Obsidian game, depending on what it is, I mean, if we're lucky, 2029. Oof. Right? Am I off on that?
Well, I have a question on that. How long it took Obsidian to work on Avowed?
I don't think you want to go down that road. A long time. Because remember, it had to restart. There's rumors that they restarted it, the whole thing. So,
yeah.
But that's my point. Even if three years is, let's just say, 3 years for the next Fallout game from, all right, Josh Sawyer, you get to go make a new Fallout game starting now, 2026. That's 2029. This is what I'm saying again. And this is, oh, damn. See, they got me all animated. I'm dropping shit. But this is what I'm saying. I'm a fan. So it's like, I want more Fallout. Yes, I love 76. I love the content that comes in 76. But I'm just being real. I want more than Fallout 76. And you're essentially telling me I'm not getting anything new Fallout related until 2029.
Project Helix might be around.
Yeah, for like $5,000, but it'll be around. But the point is, Fallout 4, okay, look, let's do the real timeline. Fallout 3 was 2008. Mm-hmm. New Vegas was 2011, I believe, right? Or 2010, 2011, up in there somewhere.
You continue, I could.
Search. Yeah, look it up. 4 is 2015, 76 is 2018. So from 2018, 2029 will be the next new Fallout experience we get. Yes, the remasters will happen in the interim. So we'll probably get Fallout 3 remaster next year, maybe potentially Vegas in 2028. But those are remasters.
2010.
So this is what I'm saying. You see the gaps in time here that I'm talking about with Fallout?
Yeah.
Where it's an IP that I personally think, this is just my opinion, deserves more love than that, deserves more content than that. There's so many stories and regions that you can tell Fallout stories in that I would love see come to life. That's all I'm saying. I get it. I got ratioed on that because, you know, I made the tweet. I stand by what I said because that's what I believe. And obviously Bethesda is correcting me and saying that's not 100% accurate. Fair. We're not inside. We don't know. But all I'm saying is, as a fan, I want more Fallout. And I don't want to wait until 2029 to get more Fallout, which is why I wish a lot of this stuff was put into motion years ago. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, we got a couple of super chat. Thanks to It's Bizu. I'm going to read. He posted two. So if exclusively is the strategy they need to make, let's talk about Xbox. They need to make hardware cheaper. He says it's difficult right now. In 2014, 2015, PlayStation 4 Slim with the new Batman game was at $200 at GameStop. Xbox needs to appeal to the gamer wallets and evolving libraries. Now, here's the thing. I know we were talking about, you know, new Fallout, you know, new games in the future, Halo and all that stuff. No matter what, yes, it's coming for the next console, but yo, if you still have a Series X and the S, it's still going to be available, those games there too, because they're not going to focus on, let's have an exclusive 100% for Project Helix. That's not going to happen. I don't think so.
No, it's not.
That's not going to happen. I think that's the best way. I think that's the best case scenario is, have it for Project Helix. It's going to look better there and everything, but also available for the previous consoles. Your thoughts about that, Paris?
Yeah, so what I said last week. It's exactly what I was saying last week. They got to figure out a way to make this hardware affordable. And if they can't, then the games will continue to be on the X and the S. So, like I said, keep what you got. Keep what you got, because these games are going to be there. I mean, don't feel obligated that you need to run out and spend $800, $900, $1,000+ on new consoles when the games cross-gen is here to stay. I'm just letting you know, cross-gen ain't going nowhere anytime soon, because until this RAM crisis settles down and they can get prices back to somewhat of a normal state, these games got to be available on the devices that are in people's hands. And that was a point I was making last week, that Xbox is, I mean, it's damn near over 2-1. They're behind PlayStation, damn near 3-1 probably, right? Behind PlayStation as far as hardware goes. So again, this is why we talk about there's going to still be some level of multi-platform and all that. Sure, they're going to do some exclusivity to try and incentivize you to buy an Xbox. But how many people are realistically going to run out and buy an Xbox in the next couple of years that's going to cost you $800+? That's how you got to look at it. I get there. I was saying this during Summer Game Fest. I'll say it again. I do not envy Asha Sharma's job at all, because she is coming in at an absolute worst time to say, let's pivot on the business strategy. Let's try and make consoles the focus again, because now they cost too much. So how do you get some, how do you convince someone to spend double, damn near triple the price of what an Xbox should cost right now? Because like we said before, right now, a Series X in the before times is probably $299 at this stage. The Series S is probably $150 in the olden days when prices used to drop instead of go up. So how do you convince people to go, well, damn, I would have been better off buying the damn thing 5 years ago than I am now. What do you do? So it's tough. It's tough. Like I said, I don't envy it. I understand why they want to put games exclusive again. To everything that Matthew Ball has talked about, obviously Matt Booty has talked about himself, but it's the climate. Just the climate isn't favorable for it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. When is the right time to talk about next gen consoles? Because here's the thing. Yeah,
but you know what I think.
Well, I know, but because here's the thing, and now I'm gonna read what people have been saying. But here's the thing, like, you know, I think in the first part when Asha took over, you know, it's all about like liking the company, going, you know, to the fans, bringing back Fan Fest, everything. Now the second stage is reset. What is gonna be the third stage? You know, when they're gonna talk about Project Helix? When are they gonna delay it? Are they gonna let a company like PlayStation maybe releasing it first? Like, I don't know. Because if you go back in history, Xbox always likes to release it before the competition. Every single time. Do you think with everything that's happening now, are they going to do the same? Are they going to do it differently this time? Are they going to wait until things go down? Because I just don't see the prices go down.
I don't know. And that's that. It's such an unknown. What is the right strategy? Because it's unprecedented right now. We've never in the 50 years of video games had a scenario like this. So what's the strategy? What's the play on it? We simply don't know. Again, that's why they get paid the big bucks and we on a podcast on a Sunday morning. They got to figure that out.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So another super chat from it's Bezo. Xbox can't be exclusive like PlayStation. Of course they can't. They can't at all. Xbox will be selective in order to compete. They will have some success and some misses, but they will be calculated. Of course, they have to. Here's the thing, man. I see Xbox doing more for this generation, Paris. Do you see the Xbox doing more multiplayer or more single player games? I think they're going to be more single player games to keep it cheap and faster. Having a live service or multiplayer game is more expensive, man. I mean, unless it's like a Call of Duty, Gears, or Halo, that will work. But every other game out there, I think it's going to be single player. We're going to see more AA, of course, too. I think so, but we'll see. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't see them really investing in a lot of big multiplayer games. Like, I mean, we know Gears is going to be multiplayer, but I don't think that, and again, we know they're making it exclusive, so I don't think the expectation is it for to be this smash hit, big live service type game. Obviously, all the Halo rumors that are running around right now, who knows what's true and what isn't. But if there were to be one, it would be Halo. That would be the one. that they would probably try and do something else with. I mean, until they publicly come out and talk about what's next for Halo, we just simply don't know.
Yeah. Have you looked at the interview with Jason Schreier and Todd Howard? I'm just curious. I haven't seen it, but I just heard.
You know, I only saw the snippets. I didn't actually watch what Jason said. I just saw the snippets of it because I thought Jez covered a lot of that anyways. And Jason was essentially pretty much corroborating what Jez had with Todd Howard as well. So, no, I didn't watch it.
So, speaking about Jason Schreier, because I just watched a clip from another podcast, shout out to Jason, but he talked about, it's been talks from the higher ups, some people from the higher ups over there at Xbox, not a fan of Game Pass. Now, my question to you, do you believe it? And number two,
yeah,
what are the changes are they going to do now? Because like they're all in already, so like there's no way they're going to remove Xbox Game Pass 100%. But I could see them doing something like similar to what it did with Call of Duty. Some games will be there, maybe later in the future will be there, but it's not going to be day one on Game Pass because I think they see the numbers. It's not really helping when it comes to sales numbers probably, right? So your thoughts on that?
I'll say this about Game Pass, and this is something I've always said over the years. As a customer, best value in gaming. That was always the mantra, you know, it shook the pom-poms on that one because, hey, we as customers were getting a fantastic deal on that day-and-day game, all that stuff. So I'll never waver from that. From a customer perspective, yes, Game Pass, of course. Yeah, love it. And I've also said over the years, because, you know, there was always questions about is it sustainable, not sustainable, the whole thing. I'm like, look, if it ain't sustainable, get rid of it. Period. But that's up for, again, they get paid the big bucks to figure that out, not me. So that's for them to figure that out. They're telling me it's sustainable. I'm the customer. I'm going to just roll with it until it ain't, until the wheels fall off. I'm getting close to thinking the wheels are about to fall off in this sense. Well, a couple things on this.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting rid of Game Pass because if they were, it would have just happened. They did it already. Instead, because Game Pass, the whole point of Game Pass, if you got to a certain subscriber threshold and they were there month after month, of course, it was going to work. Everybody was going to thrive. That was the original vision Phil had. That's why you're having the Double Fines and the Ninja Theories they acquired, because those games themselves didn't have to be huge sellers because Game Pass was going to be the rising tide for everything. Right. That obviously did not work. We've seen the subscriber numbers. The prices went up, just everything, you know. Chaos. Clearly, there is still some value internally from Game Pass, or it would be gone. It would. I do think it evolves. I'm curious how day and date will be handled. Now, let me say this too. If day and date goes away, Game Pass is essentially DOA. It is no better than PlayStation Plus at that point. It is just, you're ticking a box. So, I know what you said. Does it evolve into something where it's more a la carte and how you price it out? Maybe. I think a year from now, Game Pass will not look the same it does today. That I do think. But I don't think it 100% goes away because it is making money. It is a guaranteed revenue stream. We do know that Game Pass and Minecraft and Candy Crush were supplementing some of these other studios. So to the point of what Jason Schreier talked about, you got damn right there was probably some of these studio heads that were like, you were devaluing my games with Game Pass. I believe that. I definitely believe they think that because of the reputation that Game Pass has gotten over the past few years. That is 100% valid. But I think Microsoft / Xbox themselves getting rid of Game Pass, I don't think so, because I think the exit ramp was there and they didn't take it. And they clearly didn't take it for a reason. So I don't think it will be at the forefront of their marketing moving forward. But I don't think Game Pass or Play Anywhere is going anywhere. But I do think there will for sure be some tweaking to the tiers and potentially to what games are day and day.
I think if they remove Game Pass, that's going to hurt Xbox big time. A lot of people are like, well, I'm out.
But this is my point. That's what I'm saying. They obviously didn't get rid of it because Asha could have come in and immediately got rid of Game Pass. Hey, we're now going to, and they could have given people time. Hey, In January 2027, we're going to scale back and Game Pass is going to go away. If you subscribed, you know, for X amount of years, we'll give you credit back for that. They could have done all of that already and they didn't. So there's clearly a reason why they didn't. What that 100% is, we don't know. Look, hey, maybe one day we'll get an opportunity to ask that question. We'll find out. You never know. But
yeah,
I don't think it 100% goes away, but I do think it evolves from what it currently is.
Yeah, I think they're going to cut back with making deals with third-party companies and maybe even smaller studios. I think they're going to cut back a lot. So, yeah. Now, with Call of Duty, are we ever going to see a new Call of Duty ever again? Like,
Not day and date. I mean, because think about it. Even Modern Warfare 4 will come to Game Pass in a year from now. So it will eventually be in Game Pass. It just won't be there day and date. Because Call of Duty is just simply too big of a game to put it in that subscription service. I think it's more of a thing of, you know, it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto 6 or Elder Scrolls. You know people are going to go buy it. You know it. They just are. That's how big Call of Duty is. So, you know, allegedly there was internal discussions even before Black Ops 6 went in there about putting it in there. And obviously that was a decision Asha made when she came in. Like, nope, take it out. Lower the price and take it out.
So here's the part that I'm a little confused. Now is two Call of Duties since the company got acquired. Mm-hmm. It didn't really push Game Pass. It wasn't like a success for Game Pass. Like, and they looked at the numbers and like, yo, we should just not put D&D anymore. Like,
yeah, because it forced them to raise the price of it, and it didn't. You know, you didn't get this crazy huge bump in subscriptions, but now it was $30 a month, and now everyone's upset.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Do you think if they would have kept the same price, you think it would have been a success? I don't think so. I think probably going to be the same. Maybe a little bump, but not like a huge success. Like, yo, Call of Duty is getting a lot of new subscribers. I don't see that.
Look at it this way. They were better off keeping it out because they lost millions of subs. Putting it in there and raising the price. So it actually had a negative effect on Game Pass. They'd have been better off, hey, Call of Duty is its own thing. It's not going into Game Pass, and keep Game Pass the way that it was. I don't know. It's, like I said, we're in some interesting times with this, because just the landscape of everything has changed so much over the past 5 or 6 years that, yeah, you got to make these tough decisions, and things that we thought were going to happen 4, 5, 6 years ago, didn't work. I mean, you know, hey, raise my hand. I definitely thought Game Pass was going to take off and be this huge thing, and it didn't. And I think it's a combination of price increases and you didn't keep up the cadence that you needed of quality games that people wanted to play in the service. That's the only way you retain people. You got to have content, and it has to be content that people want, or they're just simply not going to subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it anymore with all the changes, and especially now with less people at working on these games now than before. I just don't see the amount of content that we thought we were going to get to see, because that was something that Matt Booty will always bring up, and Phil
brought it up too. Yeah,
I don't see that. It looks like Asha's like, nope. Well, we're going to work on AAA games, the big ones that we know is going to sell, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's how it looks like. So. I know. Anything else, Paris? Anything else?
No, I mean, like I said, I mean, we're kind of in this weird spot right now. Like, obviously, next week we'll talk about Halo Campaign Evolved. We'll have our review on that next week, and then it's gonna get quiet for a little bit. Then Gamescom, it's gonna start ramping up again. I'll just simply say this about the Halo, because it's rumors. We don't know what's true. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not true. I know that. I hope it's not true. Because that'll be disappointing if it is. I hope it's not. And we'll obviously see and wait to see what they got to say. Like I said, we'll play Campaign Evolve. We'll talk about that next week. And then I will be on pins and needles for, what was it? Was it Halo Fest? What is it called? But the Halo Championship stuff.
Oh, that's like September?
In December. Because I think that's going to be the next opportunity that we're going to hear about the future of Halo. And like I said, we've had enough of rumor and speculation. My God, it's just too much. Half of shit is just wrong. I'll wait till I get official word on what's true and what isn't. Or maybe Xbox comes out sooner and addresses it. They've seemed to be a lot more willing to do that lately than they have been in the past. But yeah, I'll be real curious to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking about rumors, now Xbox is gonna release physical games on the next gen, bro. I don't see that, yo. I don't know what, why people are sharing this. Like, if it's real, it's, come on. It's not even
wasn't
official
it, wasn't
yet.
Wasn't that like the GOAT Gaming account, which we know is a parody account?
There's multiple accounts. It's
no, but I think it started with him and then other people pick it up and the next thing you know, it's like, I saw that and I'm like, this is
yo,
not true.
Yo, bro, it's so stupid. It's not gonna, you were gonna say something? You were gonna say something?
Nah, I'm be quiet. I already got ratioed this week. I don't need to get ratioed again.
I mean, hey, they responded. I was not expecting them to respond to you, you know?
You know, and like I said, I'm not saying, just going back to that for a second, I'm not saying that I was, I'm just giving you my perspective on it. That's literally what that was. And I kind of still stand by that perspective on it, that, like I said before, I just think we should have had more Fallout content ready to go sooner.
Yes.
That's essentially all I'm saying. So the fact that the Bethesda account did respond and add some clarification to it, fair. Fair, because I'm not inside those walls. I don't know what conversations have happened, whatever. Now, one thing I will say,
yeah,
and I think it is very unfair to Todd Howard, is this reputation that he's gotten somehow that he hates Obsidian. I don't think he hates Obsidian. I've never thought that. He obviously trusted Obsidian enough to make, in my opinion, the best Fallout game with New Vegas. So, like, even in these interviews, I know he sighed at one point talking about, it's like, look, I don't hate Obsidian. Like, you know, we've met Todd Howard. We've had a chance to talk to him multiple times. Good guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's very passionate about the stuff that he makes. And no, I don't think he's, I think he's, if I had an opinion of Todd Howard when it comes to all this stuff, I think he definitely wants a hand on the wheel of his projects, which is probably why Fallout was not initially given off to another studio to do, because it's his baby and he wants to make it his way and all that. Hey, that's fair. Unfortunately, we're in a different era now. I don't think you can hold off on these games anymore like that. That's all I think. I don't think it was a thing against Obsidian or whatever. I just think it was, that's his baby. Elder Scrolls is his baby. Obviously, Starfield is his baby, which, by the way, that's another thing with these silly ass rumors that go around. Starfield's dead. They're never making that again. Guess we were wrong. They're continuing to make Starfield, and it is being elevated into one of their tentpole IPs that they will prioritize moving forward. So we're getting more content for Starfield. Great. That's how I see it. I'm a personally fan of Starfield. I like Starfield. I'm just a fan of Bethesda, period. Just being overall, I like Bethesda games. I always have. So maybe when I put out that tweet, yeah, I'm a little passionate about it because I want more. And that's really all it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see, guys. We'll see. What?
We'll just say it in the after show. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, thank you for listening to Obsidian Radio. Obsidian Radio right here. We'll be back. The next episode, I believe, is the Halo review, right? The Halo campaign.
Yeah, it'd be Halo. Review.
Yeah. So, and also, I got some stuff cooking. I got some stuff cooking that is already recorded. I'm just waiting for the thumbs up to release it. Oh,
can we tease?
What are you gonna say?
No, I just want to say, and yeah, we got something not video game related coming too. That's all.
Yeah, that's soon. Very soon. Very
yeah.
Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about it too. So everyone, make sure to listen. We have a couple episodes this week, so make sure to listen. It's going to be pretty cool. All right. Until next time. And now for the after show. We're out. Peace.